You're tuned to 88 FM Radio Life and Style, coming to you from the center of Bolito. Time now for another episode of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning, and good morning to all our listeners, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored, where we bring the stories shaping our communities into sharp focus. This week on Uncensored, we unpack a troubling case of legal overreach, personal vendettas, and the quiet erosion of due process. Driving under the influence is a Schedule 2 offence in South Africa. The law is clear. Anyone arrested must be brought before a court within 48 hours, a slightly longer time if the arrest occurs over a weekend. But was this really the case? For one local resident arrested and held in a holding cell in Mhlali police station for 8 full days before appearing in court. Why? Well, we have the guests in studio to unpack these allegations of abuse of power, which is at the heart of the story. Joining me in studio this morning is Tammy Chiliza, the man at the center of the case. He's not just a resident of Ward 8 in Nkombongo, where the mayor, Ali Ngidi, also serves as the ward councillor, but he's also a long-standing community activist lobbying for better services in his ward. And Chiliza chairs the Kwadukuza Business Forum in Nkombongo, an NPO that focuses on youth development and upliftment. He also serves as the executive committee, a member of Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. And we also have Pilani Pitaya, a secretary of the NPO. He'll be giving us feedback on the mayoral Mbeza and on the RDP and the draft budget that took place this recent Tuesday week. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. It's great to have you back again.
Thank you, Penny. Good morning to the listeners at home.
Yeah, so let's dive into this. Now, Tammy, take us back to Boxing Day. It was December 26th last year. You were stopped and detained, not by regular police, but by members of the mayor's personal security detail. And can you just take us through this intriguing story? But let's just quickly clarify this. The vehicle they were driving, the vehicle that stopped it was none other than the KDM2, yes, one of the municipality's official executive fleet cars. Now, according to the municipality's own statement, KDM2 at that time had been declared out of service. And that was the excuse given to justify why the mayor needed to hire a private car during that period. Now, just for our listeners, just let me clarify this matter. Why does this matter so much? Now, KDM2 was supposedly out of service. The mayor and his deputy were racking up massive bills for luxury vehicle hires. Between November 2024 and February this year, nearly 1 million rand of ratepayers' money was spent on renting BMWs, Mercedes-Benz and Volvos, vehicles far removed from anything that could be called modest or practical for a municipality already struggling with basic service delivery. Now, according to the municipality's financial reports, the mayor hired vehicles alone that cost the ratepayers over 497,000 rand. 497,000 in 4 months was on vehicle hire for the mayor. And the deputy mayor, it cost the ratepayers 528,000, just the same period. Now, this amounts to a staggering average of 17,600 rand per day, over 1 million rand. So what? When questioned about this expenditure, they've said that the vehicles were out of service and they were not safe. Now, Tammy, let us take us back to the moment. You were stopped on Boxing Day. Who yes. approached you and what exactly happened?
Okay, this is my story. On the 26th December 2024, at about 2 o'clock at the afternoon, I was driving my vehicle VW Polo. As I was approaching the mayor's residence, I noticed that there are three black males.
Yeah.
Who were stopping me, which happens to be the bodyguards of the mayor.
And what car were they driving when they stopped you?
They were driving KDM2. So as I was about to pass his resident house, they stopped me. Okay? I stopped. Then I realized, why am I stopping? So when I noticed then the white BMW SUV, the white one, which was rented by KDM Kwadukuza municipality, was approaching. So I continued. Then I noticed that they are following me. Then I stopped my car. The moment I stopped my car, they went past me, KTM 2. And then I was like confused, what is happening? And then the main car, which was the mayor's, stopped behind. So now I was in the middle. So then the mayor came to me and he
said, he wasn't driving the car, hey?
He wasn't driving the car, but he was on the car, on the main car.
In
so
the car,
he came out and then he came to me and then he slapped me. I was wondering why I was slapped, and then he told his bodyguard that they must continue beating me and they must take me to Umhlali police station. Then they beat me and he left. The mayor left with his car and these bodyguards, they continue beating me. So I was a punching bag on a boxing day. So that what happens on that day.
And these three bodyguards, they came out of KDM too.
Yes.
They're all in the car. So there was a traffic officer, I believe, who was driving the car.
KDM
He's the
two.
One who gave the statement.
Yes.
Can I just clarify? Now, there's a record that you've had a very tense history with the mayor, Ali Ngidi.
Yes.
And do you believe this arrest was politically motivated?
Yes. Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah. I just want to clarify because I've gone through a lot of the notes that I've gone, and these are official documents that were sent. You've run, I mean, this is how far back your dispute goes. Mm-hmm. You in the same ward as the mayor, he's the ward councillor. And in 2024, you've been citing that the mayor, you know, stops the community and uses the town hall at his own behest. Your NGO approached the mayor asking them if you could run a soup kitchen because, you know, there's such a need in the community.
Yes.
And I've got the letter. It was addressed to the municipal manager, there's the community guy, and you said to him that there's a pressing need. And he basically responded, I'm going to read this from his response. He says, there's already a soup kitchen that runs in Kombongo, and he says, we can't have parallel run soup kitchens in one place. I'm of the view, as the ward councillor for Ward 8, that it will divide our community. So in closure, in a nutshell, Ali said, we do not have an available space for the second soup kitchen. Now, you had said that we collaborated with the same community lady who runs a soup kitchen as mandated, supplying them with 800 liters of soup a month in the container, which has no electricity.
Mm.
And you said there's no shelter in there and the elderly people have to, you know, no place to hide for, you know, from the elements. And please give us the authority to use a public hall once a week so you can service them. And this was denied. I mean, this goes on. Your organization did a local beauty contest. You paid for the hire of the hall and that was denied.
Yes.
You've asked them if you've run a facility where you help school children with, you know, a resource center. There was a resource center that you approached them and you asked if you could use one room from the community hall where the kids could come after school or on weekends on public holidays, and you had donations on you organized free Wi-Fi, 700 books, and this was denied because he says no, the room's going to be used by a funeral parlor. I've got that also. So this is long-standing. I'm just trying to place the context of why, you know. So you've been a thorn in his side. You've been reporting him to the municipality. You've written letters saying that, you know, he's running in Kombongo to his own discretion. You know, the community needs aren't put forward. He's not holding, you know, the regular meetings that are held. Okay, so let's continue from there. So you got, you know, he ordered the guards to arrest you. And then it was on a DIY. So you were breathalyzed and said you were over the limit.
Yes.
And then you were transported to Umhlali holding cell. Is that right? On the 26th. And then the following day, what happened? Did you get one more thing? Is you have to have a blood test within 2 hours as per statutory. What happened? Were you? Did they come and draw your blood?
So, okay, let me summarize it.
Yeah.
I was assaulted by the mayor and his guards.
Yes.
Threatened at gunpoint. Because when they were beating us, they were pointing guns at us.
Yeah.
Yes. And then forcefully, I was taken out of my car.
Yeah.
And was taken to the KTM car. So it was the KTM 2 vehicle.
So KTM 2.
That transported me from Kombongo to Umhlali police station.
The one that was allegedly out of
service. No breathalyzer. They didn't breathalyze me.
Okay.
They just took me to the police station.
Yeah.
With KDM2.
And then while you're there, did they fingerprint you? What did they do? How did they? What was the process? Did you just get put in a holding cell? What were your charges?
So same time when I arrived to the police station, yeah, they took me straight to the holding cell.
Yeah.
And then they organized a nurse to come from the health institution. I'm not sure if she's coming
from Boxing Day.
On the Boxing Day. I'm not too sure if they took her from Chagas Kraal Clinic or maybe Stenger Hospital.
Yeah.
But they brought her. After 3 or 4 hours, they took me back from the holding cell,
yeah,
to take my blood test in the Umhlali police station.
Okay, so she draws your blood and then you go back to the holding cell.
Yes, then
and
I
And you agreed to have your blood withdrawn.
Yes.
Why
yes.
did you agree to it?
Because I had to comply. Because if I was resisting, that will, I think it will create more charges to me.
Yeah.
So the charges, they say it was a drunken driving and resisting arrest.
Okay.
Now my question is, when did I resist the arrest? Because I complied on
and
everything.
And there were bodyguards around you who were who had weapons. And then what happened? So if they put you in jail and they say it's a DI, driving under the influence, did you have to now appear before court the following day? Because they've got 48 hours to hold you.
Yes.
And then obviously you have to appear before court. Did that happen?
Yes, on the following day, on the 27th of December, I went to...
They transported you to the Stanger Museum.
Yes, I was a custodian by that time.
Okay.
I was the custodian. So I went to the magistrate court.
You appeared
and
there?
They denied me bail. They said I'm a threat in the community.
Okay. And did they bring up the charge that you've actually been held under a DIU?
I'm not too sure, but on the 27th of February, there was a docket there.
Yeah.
On that docket, they wrote that I'm a threat to the community.
Okay,
I'm
so
a threat to the mayor. Yes, then they denied.
Went back, and then what? What happened? Did you have to wait for another date? What?
Yes, then they took me back for another 7 days.
So you stayed in the holding cell for 7 days at Umhlali Police Station?
Yes, from 26th December to the 2nd of January. And then now, on the 2nd of January, there was no docket.
So when you appeared again before the magistrate's court on the 2nd of January. And then did you apply for bail again?
Yes, I applied for the bail and I was released on bail.
And what were the charges? Did they read the charges out to you?
And now the charges was drunken driving only. The resisting of arrest was disappeared.
And no threat to the community?
No threat to the community now.
And so you had to now from the set, you paid a fine. How much was your fine?
It was 2,000 rands. Yes, 2,000
And then
rands.
You had to appear again before court. When did your third, now this is the second, third, this is the third appearance. So when was your fourth appearance now?
The third appearance was on the 21st of February.
Okay.
Yes.
So did you have a lawyer at that time representing you?
Yes, I had a lawyer, and they said no, we can't finalize your case. We are waiting for 9 statement for drunken driving. So now my question is, what are those statements for? 9 of them, they said.
So they did they read out what the charges were? So that you've been charged now with driving under the influence, and we can't proceed today because we're waiting for the 9 statements.
Yes.
Okay, and then then when did the next appearance happen?
Then the next appearance was on the 15th of March.
Happened then?
They were still awaiting the statement.
Okay.
So the statement and the blood test.
They didn't have the blood test.
Yes. Until the 15th of April,
okay,
where they had a blood test and the statements.
Okay, and then what? You appeared before court. The prosecutor has the blood test, the statements. Did they put a charge before you?
Yes. Now that everything was in order, then we appear. Then my lawyer asked for the pre-trial, of which it was on the 2nd of May. So on the pre-trial, the prosecutor realized that I have no case, because now my blood test result stated that it was 0.3 instead of 0.5. So I was unlawfully detained, unlawfully arrested, and the case is withdrawn.
And thrown out.
Yes.
Yeah, this is just, you know, and so you, and I believe you did also open a counter case against the mayor.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I did approach the captain of the communications, yes. Captain of SAPS, and asked him, I did quote him the case number, and I asked him, you know, what was the outcome of the case, or where were you with that? And he said he was going to get back to me, and I'm still waiting for him. I've also approached the NPA, the National Prosecuting Authority, in terms of the rights, you know, on the whole procedure. And I ran this by an attorney, and he says you can actually take this to the Human Rights Court. Mm. It's just such a violation. And you know what? What has been the outcome, though? So you spent 7 days in jail, 8 days in jail. You've appeared before court. You incurred expenses trying to defend this case. Then it was thrown out because it was there was no, you know, there's no evidence, or the dockets have been missing. Did anyone come back and say what's you know, what we did was wrong? I mean, has there been what has been the part of the mayor? While this was carrying on, did you get any communication with him? I mean, I read one of the statements from the trafficked officer, and the statement was done. This is like this is annexure. This is the main statement. It was done in March. So you were arrested in December. This is the March. This is a statement in March, and he swears under oath that he was driving the KDM. Two, and he saw you were driving erratically, and then he even admits he was driving KDM2, which was supposed to be out of service, and then the mayor's car was following him. I mean, he writes that down here, and how he reported on duty. He says, on the 26th, he reported on duty in the morning, for my duties for the day was to be a close protection for Mr. Mayor of Kwadukuza, Mr. Alan Gidi, and I was a driver of a motor vehicle, KDM2, which is a white Toyota double cab Bucky. There you have it. Okay, so we're gonna we just unpacked this, and now we
I've just noted one thing there.
Yes,
they're saying that the mayor was using black BMW in December,
including a black DM. He says yes. I noticed the mayor's other vehicle, black BMW X3, with the mayor inside the vehicle coming out, and that is also incorrect because those vehicles were all docked. We've had it documented on social media, and we have the reports that he hired a car during that time, and that was the outcry. Because now, I mean, look at this. This is under oath. This is one of his traffic details under oath, lying in March. I mean, surely everything, we've already picked up two discrepancies here. I mean, this could be pulled apart. But now, this is a broader picture of someone who's got power, and he uses the means, you know, the power to affect whatever he wants. It's quite scary. And we also last week questioned why the IDP, the mayor's imbiza, had not happened. And then you, and then all of a sudden, can you just go through it with us, Polani? What happened? You received notice, 24-hour notice, you said.
Yes. Thank you very much, Penny. Greeting to all the listeners at home. Yeah, we did have an IDP. But it was a last-minute IDP.
Yeah.
And we are so thankful to Life and Style Radio for their broadcast. It finally happened.
Yeah.
But when it happened, it didn't happen the way the community was supposed to be engaging.
I know the MK actually put out an official statement saying that it was a notice was given less than 24 hours. It's impossible for the community to be mobilized and not have time, you know, to attend. And the time was on was 2 p.m., which was a very... my correction, wasn't it Tuesday? It was Thursday last week.
Was Tuesday.
Oh, was it Tuesday? Yes, sorry. Yeah.
On the 20th.
Okay.
Yes.
So a lot of people couldn't come because they didn't have time to get off work. 2 o'clock is not a convenient time for people to go to these meetings.
Yes.
So was it well attended?
It was well attended, plus minus 300 people, because it was three wards that were combined together.
Okay.
And those three.
So it was Nkombongo, Shayamoya,
and
Shaka's Kraal.
Shaka's Kraal, all of those words were there, and people were there in that meeting to engage to use this Section 7 of the constitutional right of theirs here in South Africa. Because now constitution had to be appointed by all the leaders in our country.
And it's a public participation. It's they are obligated by law before they pass the budget to have a public participation in order to give the community a chance to comment on the budget and to obviously put through the grievances and like we had it in our Mshlali
Mbiza. And it
as
must
well.
Be open.
It must be open to the public.
And was it open to the
It wasn't that open to the public.
How many bodyguards were there? I just want to ask that question. Was there high detailed security
presence?
There was
a high detailed security, even POP, public order, were there.
Public order police.
Yes.
And all their full gear.
Full gear.
Those are the same police that came during the riots. They are very intimidating.
And we didn't know what is happening.
So the public order police was called to a community in Mbiza.
Yes.
That's just unbelievable. And did you address, did Ali address the people? What happened there?
So in an incident that happened there, we've got Caesar Water, which is supplying us with water.
You're one of the concession areas.
And the main challenge was illegal connections by the local household.
Caesar Water or the electricity?
Caesar Water.
Okay,
so
the water.
When Caesar Water was presenting on the podium, and the mayor was so brutal to this Caesar Water guy that was presenting, but even worse, he even called him out when he was still presenting.
What do you mean he called him out?
He said he's finished.
Okay, so he interrupted him when he was giving his
guy, and this guy was...
Is that who was the CEO, the same...
No. Yeah.
It was Sakile
from Caesar Water. And when we ask a question about this challenges that Caesar Water had of illegal connection, because the mayor is also doing the illegal connection to Caesar Water. So I was muted because I was asking the question that was involving him doing the very same thing that Caesar Water is crying about, which is illegal connection into our township.
And so he was interrupted during his presentation and by the mayor and told to come out. And then what happened? Did all the other executive directors also give presentations?
Not executive, junior staff.
Okay.
Mostly they were...
I come in on this one? There is a case in Caesar Water for illegal connection that was done by Mr. Ali Ngidi, the mayor.
So they opened a case against Mr. Ngidi. Are you serious?
Yes.
No, we reported him. Okay. Our organization.
Have you got evidence that he has illegal?
What sort
of evidence? I always say, give me the evidence, but I want to see it. Not just speaking about it. Have you got documented evidence that he
has? We have photos.
We have photos of the
and a reference.
Is this the compound that the mayor is lives in, which is protected by 10 security officers? So the same ward councillor lives in the ward which has a very a community that is very dissatisfied about community services, and he has to have round the clock bodyguards, 24 hour security, which is costing the the ratepayers millions. So this is and he's got now an illegal connection. Dave, you look a little bit shocked.
Well, I don't normally find myself at a loss for words, but what you've detailed, and again, I haven't seen any evidence, I'm just listening to this and accepting it at face value. But if what you say is correct, then it would appear that the mayor is... you quite correctly said that the illegal arrest alone was grounds for... charges to be laid, criminal charges to be laid.
Yeah, for sure. Against the Minister of Police as well. So I actually took this case.
Well, that's the case, but we're talking about the theft of water, which is a criminal offence.
So Caesar, you said.
For the mayor to be accused of a criminal offence like this, in fact, a case which has been laid, I'm staggered to hear this, but I'm more staggered to hear that it hasn't been investigated.
So Caesar has the case with... did Caesar do an investigation on this?
Yes, we reported him in 2023.
Okay.
He was a ward councillor by that.
But look at these documents. So you guys have written... You've been writing to the municipality asking. You said your ward is dysfunctional. The ward committee is made up of members appointed by the ward councillor, who are also part of an economic development program that they shouldn't be part of, because that is this development program the government implemented it towards needy wards for upliftment, and the ward committee members are not allowed to be part of this program because they obviously get a stipend and then they get another stipend. You've reported it. You've got documented evidence that those committee members are part of this program. Nothing's happened. And then the COCTA said that they have addressed your concerns and they've put them back to the speaker, who's Dolly Govender. And the speaker now, this is just even floors me even more. She writes back to the community, to the secretary and the Tammy, and she says, no, your allegations that you aren't holding regular meetings are incorrect. These are the days that the meetings took place. And she, in her email, she documents the days. And you know what the irony is? Some of the meetings predate the email date. So the meetings took place in July, but her letter is dated in June. Now, this is, I mean, what chance
so
do you
her,
have?
Her letter was written before the meetings took place.
Yeah, they predate
the actual another,
meeting.
We say, economy of truth there.
And
which
you know
from elected officials is, I would imagine, a case for disbarment immediately.
I mean,
but
this
I'm
abuse
rather
of
legal
power.
Now.
Yeah.
It seems to me that there is something rotten in the state of Denmark beyond question,
yes.
And high time for change. And unfortunately, we're always chasing the clock on these issues.
We do want to actually, just before we tie this up, we have got, you know, we're going to obviously tie this down, and we're going to carry on continuing to following this case, because there's this suppression of dissent. You know, when you use your power to intimidate and silence critics of those who disagree with your policies, there's there's big room for concern. And then there's also the abuse of power where there's impunity. They feel they can act with little fear of consequences. And this is exactly what is happening.
Yes. And in closing, Dave, we would like to state that on the Imbizo that happened on Tuesday, we have wrote to COCTA.
Yeah.
We already wrote to COCTA for the incident that happened and the suppression that took place in our Imbizo meeting.
Yeah. And you know what happened to Tammy Chiliza is not just a personal story, it's a window into something deeper. The unchecked use of public resources, the silencing of dissent, and a troubling disregard of due process. And when there's proof in government that the government serves itself, millions spent on bodyguards, rental vehicles, the community members are protesting over their frustration with poor delivery service, and nothing happens. So we're going to keep on asking the questions, others won't. And until next time, we will be back. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Uncensored with Penny Faree, proudly brought to you by IPSS Electronic Security.